Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hey there, my friend. This is Anthony Sluzes. I welcome you once again to Your Place of Grace. We continue in a brand new series today, and this is part two, and the series is entitled, Let's Talk Bible Prophecy. And specifically, we're going to talk about America today, because I live in the United States, and many American people ask this question, and they have throughout the years. And they're really asking it in increasing numbers today. Is there consensus among Christians about America in Bible prophecy? The answer is no. No, far from it. See, Christians have two very broad viewpoints on this issue. Some people believe that though America is not explicitly mentioned in Bible prophecy, perhaps the United States is indirectly referred to. And yet other Christians believe that America is not mentioned in Bible prophecy at all. So what is an example of an indirect mention of America in Bible prophecy? Well, according to some people, there are a number of general prophetic references to the nations and the peoples in the tribulation period that may include the United States. Here's an example. It is predicted that events in Israel will become a cause for stumbling for all peoples of the earth. That's in Zechariah 12. God will, in the future, shake the nations. That's in Haggai chapter 2. Here's another one. God will be glorified among the nations. That's in Isaiah 66. And such general passages, however, do not tell us anything specific about the role of the United States in the end times. So is it possible that the land divided by rivers in Isaiah 18 verses 1 through 7 is an indirect prophetic reference to America? Well, some people think so. Since the United States is divided by rivers, such as the Mississippi. Isaiah 18, verse 7 also notes that this nation is mighty and conquering, perhaps referring to the military might of the U.S. But the obvious problem with this view is that the nation is explicitly identified in Isaiah 18, verses 1 and 2, as Cush, which is modern-day Sudan. How about that? Okay, well, is it possible then, somebody asked, that the land of Tarshish in Ezekiel 38 is an indirect prophetic reference to America? Some people think so. Ezekiel 38, verse 13, informs us that when a great northern military coalition composed of Russia and a number of Muslim nations invades Israel, a small group of nations will lamely protest the invasion. This verse says, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish and all its leaders will say to you, have you come to seize spoil? Have you assembled your hosts to carry off plunder, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to seize great spoil? Well, this one's a highly debated passage, I must say. Some Bible expositors believe that ancient Tarshish may refer to modern Spain. Others say it may be Great Britain. Still others say it may refer to the colonies of Western Europe and the nations that have subsequently arisen from them, including the United States. Still others say Tarshish might represent virtually all the Western nations of the end times, which would include the United States. And so, you know, it's reasoned based on Ezekiel 38:13 that the U.S. might be among the nations that lodge a protest against the massive invasion into Israel. But the protest is a very feeble one indeed, with no military action to back the words. Personally, I don't believe Tarshish at all refers to the United States. Excuse me. So is it possible that the Babylon of Revelation 17 and 18 is a direct prophetic reference to the U.S.? Some interpreters have seen parallels between Babylon the Great in the book of Revelation and the United States, or more narrowly, New York City. I live only 90 minutes from New York City. After all, it's reasoned both Babylon and the U.S. are dominant. Both are immoral. Both are excessively rich. And both think they are invulnerable. This scenario is not given much credence by most biblical interpreters. No. This view involves more eisegesis, that's reading a meaning into the text of Scripture, than exegesis, which is drawing the meaning out of the text of Scripture. We're going to look at Babylon in greater detail later on in our study. So, if America is not mentioned in Bible prophecy, then why not? The United States is the world's single remaining superpower that also happens to be Israel's principal ally. We're really the only one that they have. So one, therefore, might expect at least a passing reference to the U.S. in Bible prophecy. If America is not mentioned in prophecy, it could be that America may be weakened in the end times. It's entirely possible that this is indeed the case. We know that the balance of power will shift toward the United States of Europe. This revived Roman Empire, headed by the Antichrist in the end times. It says so in Daniel chapters 2 and 7. This in itself suggests a possible weakening of the USA. Is it possible that America might decline due to a nuclear attack? Well, yeah, it's possible. Government advisors say that a nuclear attack on U.S. soil within the next 10 years is more likely than not. That's scary, isn't it? Now, it seems unlikely that the entire United States could be destroyed by a nuclear attack. But if one major city, such as New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Dallas, if any one were destroyed, this would have a devastating effect on an already fragile, debt-ridden U.S. economy. One problem faced by the U.S. is that it has so many easy entrances across its borders. We have no borders along the southern border. It just doesn't exist anymore. And we are being invaded. It would not be difficult for a terrorist to smuggle a nuclear bomb into this country. It's not impossible that thousands of terrorists or evil-minded people are entering our country now, this day. A bomb could also be shipped into the United States. Of the more than 50,000 cargo containers that are shipped into the U.S. each day, only 5% get screened. Did you know that? A bomb could easily make its way into the country in one of the 95% that remain unscreened. It's also possible, dear one. Experts say that a terrorist group could launch a nuclear weapon from a commercial ship off the coast of the U.S. About 75% of the U.S. population is within 200 miles of an ocean coast. So with so many registered merchant ships sailing off the U.S. coastal waters from 195 countries, the nuclear danger is obvious. Now, how might this relate to Islamic jihad? jihad comes from the Arabic, the word jihada, which principally means to struggle or to strive in the path of Allah. Muslims today often use the term in reference to armed fighting and warfare in defending Islam and standing against what they perceive to be evil. And for most Muslims today, any war that is viewed as a defense of one's own country, home, or community is called a jihad. Radical Islamic fundamentalists are well known for their use of arms and explosives in defending their version of Islam. Jihad, in their thinking, has a goal of terrorizing perceived enemies of Islam into submission and retreat. Many Muslims believed Muhammad's mission was to conquer all the world for Allah. The goal of jihad for them is to establish Islamic authority over the whole world. And so in their view, Islam teaches that Allah is the only authority and all the political systems must be based on Allah's teaching. And so there is a threat. And why do extreme Muslims hate America so much? Do you know why? Here's the reason why. There are numbers of reasons. Among them is America's support of Israel, with over $800 million given in aid annually, as well as support for Israel's military buildup. Muslims hate Israel because in 1948, the Israeli state was reborn on the land that Muslims believe Allah gave to them. Because the United States supports Israel, both Israel and the U.S. are targeted by Muslim extremists and terrorists. The United States and Israel are allegedly the great Satan and the lesser Satan. Further resentment of Americans is rooted in America's alleged meddling in Middle Eastern affairs, such as positioning U.S. troops, whom the Muslims call infidels, on Muslim soil, in Saudi Arabia, Iraq, and elsewhere. And further, it's claimed that Americans are arrogant and imperialistic, trying to muscle their way around throughout the Middle East with their eyes on the Arabic oil fields. The hatred is palpable. It's real. There's also this thing about an EMP attack on the U.S. Is it possible the U.S. might decline due to an electromagnetic pulse attack? That's an EMP. Yes, it's quite possible. And there's been talk of this since 2004. The government has been studying these weapons used for EMP attacks. And they could be launched from a ship off our shores. The consequences of an EMP attack would be especially harmful to our society today in America, since our infrastructure, civilian and military, runs on electricity and electronic components. Those could all be shut down, just destroyed through an EMP attack. The government says that it could take months to years to fully recover from such an attack. Now, is it possible also that a moral implosion may bring down the United States of America? Oh, yeah. America may experience an ever-escalating moral and spiritual degeneration, thereby causing its downfall. There's a lot of statistics that show the trouble this country is in morally and spiritually. For example, George Barna, his organization recently released a report called The End of Absolutes, America's New Moral Code. The report, based on statistics, convincingly argues that Christian morality is being ushered out of American social structures and off the cultural main stage, leaving a vacuum in its place. And the broader culture is attempting to fill the void. And that's a quote from Barna. Now, his report indicates that for a majority of Americans, whatever is right for you has now become the basis of morality. Your personal truth is the basis for your morality. This report further notes that a sizable number of Americans see morality as a matter of cultural consensus. So one thing is certain, dear one. If the moral fiber of our country continues to erode and rot, and people continue to ignore the Bible, then the demise of the USA is only a matter of time. Because of the high level of immorality in this country, the U.S., it's entirely possible that God may bring judgment upon us. Christian leaders have been warning about this possibility for decades, and their warnings are typically met with deaf ears, much like the prophets were often ignored during Old Testament times. So lots of people ask this, can God really bring down an entire country in judgment? Oh, yes, indeed. The Bible reveals that God is absolutely sovereign and absolutely powerful. And in his sovereignty, he blesses nations that submit to him and brings down nations that rebel against him. In the book of Job, we read this in Job 12:23. He makes nations great and he destroys them. He enlarges nations and leads them away. He removes kings. Daniel says this. God removes kings and sets up kings. So, dear one, because America is now in a moral and spiritual free fall with no repentance in sight, it is legitimate to ask, might God sovereignly judge America in the end times for turning away from him? Also, is it possible that Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 28 might apply to the United States in its rebellion against God? Is it possible? I hate to say it, but it is a real possibility. If this passage tells us anything, it is that when a nation willfully rejects God and his word, turning its back on his moral requirements, God eventually reveals his wrath against that nation. See, God has a long track record of wrath against ungodly nations. And this passage from Romans chapter 1 reveals that the one way God reveals his wrath is by allowing the people of that nation to experience the full brunt of the ravaging consequences of their sin. Now, if America turns its back on Israel in the end times, might that be a contributing factor to God's judgment? It's a good question. And the answer is yes. In Genesis 12:3, God promised Abraham and his descendants, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. This ancient promise from God has never been revoked or repealed. Should the day ever come when the United States turns against Israel, woe unto this country. Woe unto America for doing that. It's good for us to remember that God is a promise keeper, and he will bless those who bless Israel and stand against those who stand against Israel. Here's another possibility. Is it possible that the rapture of the church could cause the United States to decline or collapse? Oh yeah, the answer is yes. It seems fair to say that because there's such a high concentration of Christians still in the U.S., it will be negatively affected by the rapture more than most other nations. Following the rapture of the church, many workers of all kinds will no longer show up for work. They'll be gone. Many bills and mortgages go unpaid. Many college tuition bills and loans will go unpaid. Many business leaders will no longer show up to lead their companies. Many law enforcement officers and personnel will no longer be there to keep the peace. And fears will rise. The stock market will crash like never before because of the panic over millions of people suddenly vanishing. This and much more will follow the rapture of the church. And the final thing I want to say today is this. Might it be possible that the U.S. will be in league with the Antichrist in the end times? It is possible. It may be that following the rapture of the church, the United States will be in general cooperation with the revived Roman Empire headed by the Antichrist. So since many U.S. citizens have come from Europe, it would be natural for the U.S. to become an ally of this Roman power. Now, in this theory, the U.S. will eventually be subsumed into the globalism that will emerge and prevail during the Great Tribulation period. Loved one, even in our day, our government seems to be moving us away from American national sovereignty and is open to handing more and more problems over to global government. It's happening. When Armageddon breaks out at the end of the tribulation period, troops from the United States may be there, I don't know, but standing against Israel. I hate to say that, but in Zechariah 12, verse 3, it seems very clear when it says, "On that day I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will surely hurt themselves, and all the nations of the earth will gather against Israel." The phrase "all the nations of the earth" would seem to indicate and include the USA. Likewise, in Zechariah 14:2, we read, "For I will gather all the nations, against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses plundered, and the women raped. Half the city shall go into exile, but the rest of the people shall not be cut off from the city." Again, all the nations would appear to include the United States. Further, we read in Revelation 16, verse 14, that the kings of the whole world will be gathered together for the battle on the great day of God, the Almighty. The kings of the whole world would certainly include the President of the United States. So now keep in mind that following the rapture of the church, there will not be any Christians on the earth, including in the United States. This means that many of the people in the USA who have long supported Israel have just vanished. Whoosh. And gone to be with the Lord in heaven. It is easy to see how a Christian-less United States could ally with the revived Roman Empire and then find itself in league with the Antichrist against Israel. Loved one, that is a sobering thing to ponder. As we close today, I need to ask this question of you listening. Once again today, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? There's no better time to come and invite Him into your heart and life to be Savior, Lord, and your best friend. Open your heart to Jesus. Loved one, we are in the last days. So pray this prayer with me, please, and pray it with all your heart. Dear God in heaven, that's right, pray with me. Dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Please forgive me, Lord, for the way I have lived and for the sinful things I have done. Cleanse me with your precious blood from all my sin and unrighteousness. With my mouth I confess the Lord Jesus, and in my heart I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and He is alive. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as the Savior of my soul, and I make Him the Lord of my life. And according to God's word, which cannot lie, I am washed, I am cleansed, I am forgiven, I'm healed, and yes, I am reborn. And I thank you, my God and my Savior, and I will serve you, Jesus, and live for you today and all the days of my life. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God, dear one. If you've prayed that with me, contact me through my website, yourplaceofgrace.com. Tap on that contact tab and write me an email. Say, and just tell me, Tony, I prayed that prayer with you. Jesus is now my Lord and Savior. My life will never be the same again. If you'll do that, dear one, I'm going to send you a free resource. That's right, free and postage paid to help you get started in this walk with Christ. So until we meet again, I love you guys. I love all of you and pray for you weekly. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may he always have a smiling countenance toward you. And may God grant you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory. May he give you laughter and unconditional love within your family, within your marriage, within your home and relationships. And may God grant you great, great favor all the days of your long life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzes. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.